Welcome to Natalia Benson, the podcast. I'm an astrologer, women's empowerment coach, and modern mystic living in Los Angeles. My podcast is here to inspire, encourage, and remind you that everything and anything is possible. I love sharing with you the tools that have healed, transformed, and up-leveled my life, everything from astrology to magical money, life purpose tools, mindset shifts, and pragmatic mysticism. Thank you so much for being with me, and I look forward to seeing you in the show. Hi, my angels. Welcome to another episode of Natalia Benson, the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today on your Sunday or any given day in your beautiful sacred life. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness. So today's episode is pure magic. It's enchanting. It's very unique. Jess Jerox and Rusalie, they are such a magical, powerful partnership, just a duo, and they are even beyond description. But just to give you some context, Jesh is actually a very dear friend of mine. I met him many, many years ago, and we connected and just became beautiful friends, had such powerful conversations. He's a Scorpio, and he's just been a very big inspiration in my life. And he is a photographer, a designer, director, writer, creative business mentor, powerful entrepreneur, and a meditation teacher. He has a method called Kindred, which is essentially like a modern form of meditation that helps you easily regulate your emotions and activate and access states of creative genius. Like, Jesh is such a Scorpio. He is like the embodiment of just powerful, really aligned scorpionic energy. And his partner, Rusalie, you will hear on this interview, this is my first time getting to meet Rusalie, but anyone that Jesh partners with is an instant yes, and my heart is open. And Rusalie just touched my soul in this interview. And, you know, they're both very mystical. And so this conversation was so beautiful and so, it just was so nourishing for me. Let me tell you a little about Rusalie, and then I'll tell you a little bit about where I was in context during this interview, because it was kind of intense. But Rusalie is an artist and an author, and he's known for his unique style called fusion art. He actually migrated to the United States from Iran as a young man, and he's currently residing in Southern California. And so Rusalie, he grew up actually studying under traditional Iranian painting masters. And he, as he talks about in this episode, he's a deep student of Hafiz and Rumi. Obviously was not alive in this incarnation to work with them, but you can hear in the way that he speaks just his mastery and his study and his just beautiful artistic mind. And I know that you will be so moved, and especially if you have been struggling with control. I have a very hard time with this at times. I will talk to you guys about this in a moment, but you know, especially if you've been having anxiety lately or struggling with control or getting very out of the moment, this episode is just going to bring you so strongly back into the present, which is the only thing that is real. That is what it did for me. And Jesh and Rusalie and I's conversation, I just know that you will receive so much. It's so nourishing to the soul. And especially when Rusalie speaks about and reminds how we are a part of the universe. We are in this flow of the universe. We forget. And I got very emotional because actually when we were recording this, I actually didn't know where Mick and I were going to live yet. And it was very stressful. The process of Mick and I finding a home where we live now is just, it's been really intense on it. It was really intense. And I just found all of my deepest shadowy wounds and control shit and all my shit coming up. And I remember the day that Jesh and Bruce Lee and I got on this interview, I was like so exhausted from my own fear. And I just feel like everything that they brought through was like exactly what my soul was aching to hear. And I totally cried. I have a mute button on my microphone, on my my blue Yeti microphone. And if you want to know what microphone I use, and I literally like was on mute and just like crying because it was just so beautiful to remember that we are taken care of. We are guided. We are a part of the natural world. We are a part of the ebbs and flows and the sacred cycles of this universe. And if you want to go deeper on that, I highly suggest getting to know the laws of the universe. You can Google them. There's tons of blogs and, you know, obviously the law of attraction is one of the most popular laws that we know of, but the laws are just like, you know, the law of gravity, like they govern all of us. And they're more metaphysical, as in, you know, they're not like things, it's not like there's signs posted about them, but they are energetic laws. And just like the law of gravity, something that we all adhere to. And so getting to know them is powerful. I forget them often, but I love teaching about them. I first learned about them from Catherine Zinkina from Manifestation Babe. And then I took one of her courses and then went deeper on getting to know the laws of the universe and how they pertain to money. And it's actually something I just taught in Magical Women and Money membership last month. And it was just amazing. And every time I teach, I feel like it reminds me of just things that I need to hear. And that's the power of being, and I say need consciously, by the way, because sometimes we need to hear. If you guys know about my language stuff, I do my best not to say I need, but sometimes that is a conscious, truly, truly, deeply needed thing, is just to be reminded of what, you know, we already know, but it's easy to forget. These lives are fraught with lots of experiences and challenges and beauties. And through every challenge and through every contraction, I just find so much more expansion and beauty and power and empowerment. So I've been talking like pretty actively on my Instagram the last like 24 hours or so about like self-sabotage. And I just asked you guys, like, what would you love for me to talk about and be really raw and vulnerable about? And I've just been getting some amazing, amazing responses from you. And I'm figuring out how I want to like package it, if I want to make you like Monday videos or go live and talk about these things. I'm not sure, but just what you're bringing forth has just been so powerful, and self-sabotage is one of them. And I just started reading a book called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. I wonder if any of you have read it, but it's about upper limiting, and I feel like there's probably some stuff about self-sabotage in there. I'm on page 3. I just started last night, but I'm already loving it, and I'm committing to finishing that entire book and just really finishing what I start. And this will be something I'll either do an episode about this soon, or, you know, we will chat about it. But just a couple things before we dive into this absolutely majestic episode with Jesh, Derox, and Rusalie. Well, first off, I just want to remind you, my angels, that December, we won't be having podcasts, but guess what? The first week of December, I have an amazing episode for you with Crystal Knight on like being a mom and being a CEO. She's an Australian jewelry designer. And then I also have an incredible money bonus episode for you. And that will be coming out on December 10th. And that is with all of my babes from Magical Women and Money. We're basically just going to be speaking about their breakthroughs around money issues and challenges with money, and how the work that we've done together has just completely transformed their lives and their finances. So I'm really excited about that. And then into December, we will not have any, no episodes until January. And I'd also love to hear from you guys if you're willing to take a moment. I am considering sending a type form, but I'm also happy just to receive DMs from you. Do you want me to do more solo episodes? Do you love these interviews? Like, what would you like? I'd love to hear from you. So if you could DM me at Natalia_Benson, I'd love to hear from you. And I'll, as you guys know, my Instagram link is in the show notes every single week. So go ahead and send me a message. What, you know, do you love the solos? Do you like the interviews? Do you want more solos, more interviews? I'd love to hear and just get receive your take on that. That would be so helpful. And then lastly, just so you know, this week is really special because starting on Monday, I'm doing a very, very, very special conscious holiday gift sale. So we are going to have everything from the pre-sale for my Divine Feminine Empowerment Oracle deck. We are opening up the Mystery School for the last time until next October. So it'll be your last opportunity to enroll in the Mystery School. We will be offering a year to Natalia Benson, the app. And when you purchase the year, you actually get a free copy of the Oracle deck. So you can either pre-purchase the Oracle deck on its own. That'll be about $44, or you can purchase a year to the app, which isn't much more. It'll be about $111 for the year. And then you also get a free copy of my limited edition Divine Feminine Empowerment Oracle deck. So that'll be fun. We're going to be doing 20% off of courses and doing the Conscious Babe Business School for like a really nice offering, really nice price. So that'll be fun. And I'm really excited about this conscious gift sale, conscious gift guide and conscious gift sale, holiday gifting, essentially conscious holiday gifting. Wow. So basically my thing and the reason I'm so, I absolutely love what I do is because every time you decide to invest in me, in my business, you are inevitably investing in your own well-being. And that is such a fantastic exchange. And that's why I'm so passionate about conscious women building their dream businesses, because having that exchange, no matter what you do, whether you're an astrologer or you do Reiki or you fuse all these different things of just mindfulness, every time someone makes a purchase with you and you're receiving money into your bank account and into your life, you are essentially fortifying and helping them heal and empower. So I'm really passionate about that. And if you don't want to do the full commitment to the Mystical Babe Mystery School, you can just make a very small investment in the Conscious Babe Business School. It's also included in the Mystery School if you want to do the full year to the Mystery School. But if you just are like, Natalia, all I want is to build my business and focus there, then you're all set with just doing the Conscious Babe Business School. That includes 5 courses, Women's Empowerment, Magical Women and Money, Content Creation Workshop, How to Create Your Own Course, and the Build Your Soul Purpose audiobook, which is one of my favorite things I've ever made, TBH. And then lastly, before we dive in, I will be doing money coaching on Instagram Live on Monday at 5:30 p.m. So that'll be PST. I'm always on PST, you guys. I live in California, so always on PST. And that will be just on IG Live at Natalia_Benson. So if you would like for me to money coach you, please come. We had such an incredible time last week. The last month that we did this, and I'm really excited to do it again. And then last but not least, MWMM enrollment is open this week. Whew, everything, all the things happening this next week, so exciting. And I love you guys so much. I don't know if I can ever say it enough. Like, I'm just so honored to have you here, and I'm just so appreciative that you tune in. Like, I see the numbers, I see the downloads, and it just amazes me that we're growing together. And you know, that this show in the first 24 hours will sometimes move into the lower thousands of downloads. And that's just so exciting to me. And I'm just so honored and I'm so excited to continue growing with you. And I love you guys so much. So enjoy this magical episode with Jess Derox and Rusalie. And as always, my loves, anything I announce in the intro is in the show notes for you. So if you would like to shop the Conscious Holiday Gift Sale, just go to the link in the show notes. I'll also be talking about it on Instagram this week. All right. I love you guys. Enjoy this episode. Have a stunning day. Thank you. Hello, Jess, Rusalie. It's so wonderful to have you on the Talia Benson, the podcast. How are you both doing today?
We're doing.
Perfect dancer. I'm super honored to have you here. So first and foremost, just to give my audience some context, Jess, I obviously love you so much and have known you for many, many years. And it's so beautiful to be reconnected. And yes. I'm a huge fan of just your heart set and how you approach the world. And I'm very excited to hear about what the two of you are creating together.
Cool. Thank you very much.
So to start, can you give my babes a bit of backstory, how you came together and what you are up to?
Yes. I study humans and especially the wild ones, because I'm really interested in who we can become rather than just what we've been. And if you're interested in that subject, you end up spending your time with a lot of wild characters. And Rusalie is one of the wildest characters I've ever met. Very, very special man. And he and I met like 15 years ago and just instantly clicked, because wild people recognize wild people. And he has a really amazing balance for me of someone that's just no nonsense, no bullshit, but also deep into like the mysteries. And that for me is my particular brand of interestingness, because sometimes people go so far out that they just become unrelatable. And I really respect about Rusalie that he's really got this balance of the masculine and the feminine energies. And all of the people that are very interesting to me, even though they look very different, they show up in the world very different, they do very different things, and some of them even have what you would think would be conflicting ideologies, that trait, this balance between masculine and feminine energy is always there. So he and I have been having amazing conversations for the past 15 years, and about a year ago, walking away from another stunner and feeling so moved and changed and inspired by it, I was like, we have to start recording these, because if I'm moved this much by these, then a lot of other people would be too. So that's what happened. About a year ago, we sat down and I just said, hey, do you want to start recording these? And he's like, sure. So there we did.
Brilliant. I love it. Rusalie, let's hear it. You're so magical, and I love your essence. Like, just, it's just such, that's the beautiful thing about podcasting. You get to connect with, I feel grateful I get to connect with beautiful souls. So can you tell us a bit about yourself?
I don't know. I don't know myself. So I don't really know how to describe somebody that is constantly changing. Constantly being guided from inside to move on, And when I met Jess, Jess was still, he had just sprouted out. And that was amazing for me, because, see, at my age now, I like to plant seeds. I'm not into expanding or blooming or giving even fruit or anything. Now I'm into planting seeds. And I want to make sure that I would plant seeds in a garden that is nurtured by a wonderful, powerful gardener. And Jesh is that powerful gardener. I know if one seed that I plant in Jesh within these 15 years would start working, it could be an amazing tree with amazing fruits and amazing seeds. And this is how we see, we've got to go beyond everything that we've been known or learned to live with. Yes, we have learned all of these, but we've got to go beyond it, because the greatest thing that we want in life is freedom.
Yes.
There's nothing beyond freedom. Freedom is to be free to do everything else that comes to you. Mm. And to get that freedom, to get to that condition of being so free, you have to be drunk.
You have to be drunk?
You have to be drunk. You have to let go of your rational thinking. I don't mean drunk by drinking alcohol or external stuff.
Yes.
But being drunk by a power inside of you. Mm. I just had a program on Monday night with a group of people, and I was telling them, my assignment to them this time was to, for one day, turn off your cell phones, television, everything, and go somewhere where you can see the sun as it rises. And when you look at that sun as it rises, think that this sun, instead of giving light today, is making you drunk, is giving you that energy, whatever energy that any kind of drunkenness can give you, gives you that energy to be drunk. And begin to live that one day, just one day of your life in that state of drunkenness. And every time that a thought came into you or something rational tried to stop you, make shadows out of you, go in the sunlight, stand in there, look into the sun, and ask the sun to clean you out. Clean your heart. So really, what I enjoy the most from our conversation with Jesh is that Jesh, see, I speak in metaphoric language. I've learned that from my masters, like Hafiz and Rumi, who I've grown up with. So when I speak that metaphoric language, Jesh takes that, and he's got an amazing creative listening power. Mm. Amazing. Jesh listens like I see colors. With his listening, he takes it in, and because of his life for this young man, his life has got him to the point that he can immediately grind them in this factory of his own creativity and make new forms out of it and put it out to be available to today's people.
Mm. Yeah, it's a really beautiful mix between he and I, because there's obviously a lot of differences that someone might notice looking at us, listening to us talk or whatever, but I've met many, many, many people in the world, and there's very, very few people that I actually feel more similar to than Rasuli. And that's a part of the mystery of life. How could such a thing be? How could somebody who grew up in Iran, you know, and studied under Sufi masters have anything in common with somebody who grew up in a car and lived a weird life in America and in Canada. And who can explain such things? But when you come across them, there's something just special about moments like that. And I have always been someone who is never satisfied with the surface of things. And I always wanted to understand why and how. And I love breaking things open. And so Rasuli really is a wellspring of mystical statements and deep wisdoms that are centuries, time honored. And yet there's a lot of people in the world that having had his same experiences, not being willing to sacrifice what he sacrificed, to really have an in-body understanding of what those things mean, can just kind of post the meme of it and not really understand the deeper depths of it. And so because I've spent my life doing that exact thing, almost every single word that ever pours out of Rasuli's mouth is just so rich and full of just like this energetic just juice. And it excites my whole body. I'm just like, oh my God. And then I want to rip it open and break it apart. And the fascinating thing is that as I get really excited about what he's just said, because some of these things he's been saying for like, you know, a minute. And he's not always used to people really getting to the deep of it, but like he knows it, because language is a very limiting thing. When we're talking about the mysteries and the unknowable and the infinite, how do you ever use something finite, such as a word or a series of guttural, you know, to hold this uncontainable thing? And so when I rip them open and break them apart, all these artifacts kind of explode from that. And it kind of reminds me of the Hadron Collider, you know, where they send these atoms really fast around this tube and we can't see the atom particles even with our best machinery, but the best we know how to do is throw them at each other. They explode. And in the explosion, for just a minute, if you catch it right at the right moment, you can see these little pieces come out. And he gets inspired from that stuff that I'll rip open from what he just said. And then we'll both be sitting across from each other in his desk in his office there in Encino sometimes. And we'll just be just tears in our eyes. We'll be laughing. Just again, like stunned that such a thing can even pass between two people. Yeah. How come some conversations are about why Jane is a jerk and other ones make you cry and make you different and make you see everything in a way you never had? Like, I'm fascinated with the difference between those two things. And this podcast we have, The Wisdom of Madness, is an exploration of that, I guess.
Wow, so much beauty. And there's so many things I want to touch on. And I'm very mindful of language, and I love speaking, I love listening, I love receiving the mystery and the beauty through words. I think, Jesh, that's why you and I have always gone along, because we have that depth of soul, is the way I refer to it. My beauties, I am so excited to tell you about the membership that very well may change your entire life, my Magical Women and Money membership. Money is at the root of everything that we do. And for so many of us as women, our relationship with money is built on fear, stress, and oftentimes lack. My personal relationship with money has been one of the most tumultuous journeys of my life. And through it, I've learned that money truly is an energy and something that we can relate to in an empowering, loving, positive way. As we upshift, heal, and empower ourselves with the wisdom of the ages, we truly can change our entire financial paradigm. I have witnessed so many women heal and shift and uplevel their money stories. I want to share just a few of these powerful stories that have come from this membership. One of my magical money queens, Shannon, wrote to me to say, "My magic came by paying off all of my debt. I forgave myself, learned to love myself, and called in the biggest miracle ever, healing $125,000 in debt." Beauty Tal told me, I feel more connected to myself, my mission, and my life, as well as money. Jobs and opportunities just started coming in, and for the first time in a long while, I know I'm on the right path with money. I have goosebumps. This is just one of so many. This monthly membership includes Magical Women and Money, the course, monthly live meetups with me, which are so much fun, and you get to come together with the women in the MWMM community, an MWMM membership full of high vibrational content, a special dedicated Instagram, a community of incredible women to connect with, plus exclusive perks like free classes, free courses, and first access to my offerings. MWMM enrollment is open for this week only. Go to the link in the show notes to opt in and learn more about the membership, and let's begin your Magical Women and Money journey today. Each enrollment window has limited availability, so if you feel the call, let's begin. How do you want to make people feel? Like my idea is, you know, I want to bring more peace as much as I can while I'm here. And obviously, Jesh, you know, meeting Rasuli, witnessing so much beauty that perhaps could help where we are at this time. But I'd love to hear maybe your intention and from these conversations and how you hope that it lands with people.
I feel like the single most important thing a person can learn in their entire life is to be self-responsible, to be in self-governance. And humans learn more than any other way by example. We are creatures that absorb. If you think about the person who, you know, took 3 weeks or something to learn how to tie their shoe, by watching someone else do it, it's hard enough to learn by that. Imagine the first person who ever had to figure out how to put two strings together in such a way that it would hold a shoe together. That is a way longer journey than 3 or 4 weeks. Like, that's a journey of a lifetime in some ways. But one of the most amazing things about humans is that capacity to pass that. Once somebody had spent a lifetime learning how to do the shoe tie knot, that shit spread like wildfire. And now it's, you know, almost everyone on the planet knows how to do that specific thing. So we learn by example. So the beauty about that is anything that other people already knew passes pretty easily. The challenge with that is that things that we don't know yet, the future, the unknown, that's a lot harder for humans to learn. And it's why history repeats itself is a common phrase that you'll hear. And it's mostly because of that reflective kind of nature that we come from. And to me, to really be in a place of self-responsibility, it means that you are in awareness of what your body is. You're in awareness of, to some degree at least, what it's capable of. And you are, for the most part, making decisions that are actually helping you. And as simple as that might sound, it's very, very common for humans to regularly be making decisions that are not to our benefit, health-wise, mentally, relationship-wise, which is weird when you think about it. And we're the only species that we know of that so often will make decisions knowing that that's not the best for us. Like, if you imagine a tree just sitting there growing and being like, I know the sun is actually bright over there, but I just feel like growing down into this shade, that's not what they do. They're always paying attention to what they need to grow. And so what ends up happening in my experience is you get these weird outliers that go way out. They become far out. Many of them become inaccessible. They grow in these strange, wonderful ways outside of the culture, become these things that are almost like godlike status. And then the ones that do come back to us, they're like giants to us. And they've kind of gone too far for us to be able to relate to anymore. And so then we'll put them on a pedestal, we'll build religions around them, when I think for the most part, all of them would have been pretty pissed that that's what ended up happening. That's my personal opinion about it. None of those people who inspired those religions were actually a part of their own religion, which I think is pretty interesting point.
Yeah.
So I think that distance between where a regular person is and this place of so much power. Let's just call that enlightenment for a second. I know that's kind of a big, dangerous word, but let's just call it that. Mm-hmm. I personally don't think enlightenment is an end. I think I'm a very practical person. For me, enlightenment is just the place that you get to where your body is no longer hurting itself. Mm. So once your body stops hurting itself and all your energies are now just yours to do beautiful things with, for me, that's the beginning stage of humanity. It's no kind of an end. And I think people that reached that place, a lot of them said things like, there's so much I want to tell you, but you guys literally can't even handle the things that I have been saying. So I think all that said, Rasuli and I are really interested in that middle distance. Mm-hmm. And what can we do to break down some of that to help people understand that the seed is the exact same thing as the tree in a different stage of growth? Because rational mind would look at a seed, if you never knew what a seed was, you landed on Earth as an alien, it is not rational to look at a seed and think, oh, that's clearly going to be a 40-foot tall elm with a million leaves. Like, no. And it's a very similar thing. The giants, think of the biggest person you can think of, whoever it is that you hold up the most, they are you at a different stage of growth. And that's, to me, such a profoundly important message, because people look at themselves as a seed, and then they look at the tree, and they look at themselves, and they look at the tree, and they're like, oh, I'm just not that. Mm-hmm. And Rasuli and I are really more destructive than we are creative in the same sense, because we're about destroying that middle.
Mm. And you can hear Jesh when he's talking, is that he wants to spread the, you know, joy. If you ask him, what is the one thing that you want to have as, you know, your epitaph or something that you identify yourself with, he would say that he likes to spread joy. He's a joy spreader. That's what I know in Jesh, and I think this is who he is, because this is what we're discussing. He is the one who can spread joy. I have spent my life digging deep, deep, deep into the darkness, into the mystery, not into what is available to everybody, not the knowledge. It's that mystery that is hidden deep inside the darkness. I've spent my life looking for that. And now, at old age, I have found that alchemy that is called joy. I have found it. Mm. I have found the secret of having joy. So this is what makes Jesh and I a good team, that it will last through my life anyway, and hopefully long after I'm gone, with people like Jesh, that, you know, I've been giving lectures, talks. I have written 22 books, published books. So my life has been into digging deep into finding the secret of joy. And I have found it now, and I wanted to share that.
Julie, what is it? Tell us the secret. I'm ready.
If you want to have a commercial, put the commercial. It's a good time for it.
Long interlude.
See, the secret is the idea of becoming drunk. Mm. The idea of letting things happen the way they are supposed to happen. Mm. See, I become drunk because I want to lose something. drunkenness is to lose something. So assume that you're totally drunk. Make yourself totally drunk. But see, to be drunk, you need to be mad. If you are not mad, if you're thinking that I'm going to be getting arrested as a, you know, a drunk driver or you know, whatever relates to your getting drunk, then don't get drunk. Getting drunk means that you have to be mad. You have to let go of your reasons. Let go of your rational thinking. Because that rational thinking is for your body. It's for the safety of your body. It's not you. It's the engine for the train that is carrying. And this is what makes Jesh and I pretty good team together to, for me, to deliver the torch to the hand of a good torchbearer.
Can I hop in for a sec? So this thing he's talking about with drunkenness, just to break down what that might mean from my perspective, and madness and all that, and even why we call this podcast The Wisdom of Madness. Because there are these two systems. There's this rational thinking, and then there's this intuition. Yes. They're both beautiful. They're an expression of masculine energy and feminine energy.
Yeah.
The combination of the two that creates life, that creates power. So I wouldn't say one is bad and one is good. They both have completely different utilities. But
yes.
Many people on earth, not examples of people being in balance of that, that not being a common thing, a lot of us are imbalanced on that. And if you can think of breath in and breath out, and people having wars about which one is better, you know, I believe in breath out, I believe in breath in. It's so ridiculous. And then some people being better at one than the other, you can just see how that's not going to lead to any kind of a healthy lifestyle. I think one of the clearest, simplest illustrations I could give to talk about what that drunkenness and that madness could be in a practical kind of sense is, imagine you're going in to kiss somebody and they're about 1 foot from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you start leaning in, your brain is doing these calculations and it's doing this internal log of, all right, they're 11 inches and we're closing and we're 6, 5, 4, 3 inches, contact, we have contact. Open the mouth and release the tongue. Like, if that's the place I'm living, that would be a horrible kiss. And the rational mind is very, very powerful, but for things like kisses, it fucks the entire thing up. And it completely prevents people from really getting into it. And so there's a lot more kissing that happens, funnily enough, when people are drunk. And one of the reasons for that is because the rational mind goes down. And sure, my example might be a little bit far out, but we do other things using that same system, such as maybe they won't like me, or I'm not good enough to do this, or any number of things. Those are all different forms of math, if you really want to look at it. They're judgments, they're ways of measuring ourselves, they're ways of measuring the world around us. And that measurement system is amazing for when you're cooking pancakes or something like that. That shows you how much I know about cooking.
I cooked pancakes. They're sitting right here. So that's really funny you say that.
That's not a time, for the most part, unless you already have some skill where you're like, I'm just feeling the flour today. I'm just going to feel it.
Not good for baking, I've learned.
30 eggs in this one because I love eggs so much. So it's super good for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But one of the primary characteristics about that it's not about feeling. It prevents feeling. What do you really feel about somebody being 7 inches from you? That's not really a feeling kind of an issue. So this other part of the mind, this intuition, that's really where the softness of life is. It's where the depth, it's where the meaning is. It's that feminine energy that supplies the meaning to all of these structures that we build with all of this stuff. So that rational mind is rampantly taking over most people a lot of the time. And it really needs to get back down to this lower state where, even in this example that he uses of drunkenness, I study bodies. And one of the things I'm so fascinated with is once people do get actually drunk or they're on drugs or whatever, what do the bodies do? What they always want to be doing, which is moving, touching, and speaking loudly, whatever comes to them. That's what bodies actually want to be doing all the time.
Yes.
The second that they're able to do that, they're just like, who let the dogs out? You know? Explode in all those directions. And to be able to lower that without the use of any other kind of an external object or substance or something like that is very, very, very powerful.
Yes. Oh my God. And going back to what Rasuli said about freedom, it's like how we're all craving freedom. And it's so synchronistic as well. And just to touch on this for just a moment, I love what you both are bringing forward. And I had a very powerful conversation with one of my old friends and mentors, and he was talking about addiction. And I get very mystical about why I've, and as someone who used to have issues with addiction, what you're describing is exactly what I was seeking. I just wanted to be free. I wanted to feel like myself. And, you know, addiction is also so rampant on the planet right now. People so disconnected and wanting, okay, if I have this external thing, like if this water could grant me this feeling, I will do it all the time. Instead of, I think what you both are bringing forward so beautifully, powerfully, is that that's here. It's in us. And how do we access it? And wisdom is one way I believe we do. And I see madness as surrender. And I feel like so many, I wonder what you think about that. Because I feel like so many of us, we are afraid to surrender to that. We're afraid to surrender the rational mind, right? Because there we feel safe. Like what is, because that's, I feel like, what creates so much suffering within us is that polarity, that dance.
Well, what are you going to pay if I give you the that essence of joy? What am I going to get as a result? The result that I want is that expansion of joy, which is what Jish offers. We spend our time in three sectors in the Sufi approach to way of life. Mm. One third of our life is about learning. We learn the everything and we gain what we learn. So in that one third, we are in the gained stage at the end of it. Then comes the middle life, which is using what you have gained into your life, because just gaining and putting it in the storage, in the bank, is not really the answer. You gain something to use it. So the second part becomes the section that we put this into, getting to use it. And the last part is the actual using, of it. So wherever you are in these three stages in your life, the secret that you need is to recognize that there is a flow in the universe, that you are a part of it. You are not outside of it. There is a flow that happens. Stars expand. Everything expands. It happens, and you are a part of that flow. So why not letting go into being the part of that flow?
Yes.
When the sun comes up, in the morning, the tree has been longing for it and moves its branches toward it to gain that light. Begin to gain that light. Jay, sorry, you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
I'm so excited. I mean, a million things, but the piece I think that just comes out to me right now is I do study joy. When people say, what do you do? That's what I say. I say, I study joy. And joy to me is not happiness. It's a level of aliveness. So sometimes you can be sad and you can feel joy. Sometimes you can have been a very intense moment, but you're like, this is my life. I know that I'm alive right now. Mm. And one of the simplest practical designations of that for me is joy is being aware of the miracle of existence. Mm. And the miracle of existence never stops. It never stops. We just go in and out of being aware of it. And there are these things I talk about sometimes called problems of privilege. And it's funny when you think about it that almost all of the problems we have, if not every single one, are predicated by a gift that we had nothing to do with in the first place. Mm. So even, let's say, somebody meets this amazing person and they break up with them or something like that, and it's this really sad, hard thing. You would never even have had that sad, hard thing if there wasn't this first exciting meeting and all of these moments that are really special and you bond and you close, all that kind of stuff. And or even something could happen with somebody's health and they could lose an arm and that could feel like the worst thing ever. And I'm not saying that's an easy thing, but you didn't do anything to earn your body. Your parents just, had close moments one night and boom, there you are.
Close moments.
I could go deeper into that if you want me to explain.
Yeah, could we educate? No, we got it.
But like, what happens to you basically, it's predicated first by this gift that you didn't do anything to earn. Mm. And we just look at the back end so much of the time at this loss, and we forget to kind of follow that loop forward. So this idea to me of joy being the awareness of the miracle of life is kind of beautiful, because right now my hand has like trillions of molecules and atoms spinning in there. I have no idea what they're doing, but they're just doing so well. And every single morning I wake up and that happens without me doing anything.
Yes.
And then I'll stub my toe and somebody will send me a nasty message and spill my cereal on myself, and I'll be like, this is a bad day. Like, that happened. And what's only really happened is that my rational mind has brought out that system and has taken these three things and said, three things have gone wrong today, and the score is supposed to be no wrong things and five good things. We are losing this game right now, forgetting that all of these games we're making are completely fucking arbitrary. And I was even watching basketball the other day. I was passing by some screen and there was basketball playing. I saw this entire audience of people like yelling and screaming, and these incredibly talented, stunning humans trying to put a ball into a circle. And I was like, wow, it's kind of amazing that everyone is getting so excited about putting a ball into a circle. Down, that's another one. It would be like, I don't fucking get seeds to trees, and I don't get, why they're screaming about the ball in a circle. All of which is just to say, we make all of this up. We make it up. And we take it really, really seriously.
Really seriously. Wow.
To the point that if we don't get the ball in the circle, sometimes we feel like, oh, I failed. What use am I even as a person? Mm. Forgetting that all of that is completely arbitrary. It's all arbitrary. This leads us back to the subject of the self-responsibility. Mm. You really understand that you as the individual are the sovereign ruler of your entire nation of 33.2 trillion cells, all of them basically waking up every morning being like, what do you want of us, oh great master? You're either there with them going like, wow, thank you so much for paying attention to me. Thank you for giving your entire literal lives to me. Thank you doing all of this shit all day long while I'm over here doing weird thought stuff.
Oh, you're my like gosh.
Moving, and that's happening every single day. And it's like, when we're not aware of that, we get locked into these virtual realities of, did I get the ball in the circle? Or did he get the ball better than me in the circle? Missing out on, yeah, okay, sometimes it's in, sometimes it's not. But what about your hands? Mm-hmm. And what about your lungs? And what about the fact that your neurons are changing while you're listening to us speak right now? What the heck is that? And mm-hmm. so when you bring your awareness back to that, this energy starts coming through you that Rasuli's talking about, that is the same energy that made the stars explode. And we're made of stardust, literally. So we still, if you pay attention, if you're quiet enough, you can still feel that explosion happening in your own body. It's just slow. And when you tap into that, you start doing weird shit. And everyone looks around you and they think you're mad. And Nietzsche, you know, has that amazing quote about saying that the people who could hear the music were thought to be mad. Because they were dancing. They were thought to be mad by the people who couldn't hear it.
Nietzsche.
Yeah.
Hey, beauties. I want to share a bit about one of my favorite ethical fashion brands, Cleobella. They are female-founded and make everything from insanely gorgeous, organic, cotton-flowy dresses to bracelets made from recycled brass. They truly care about sustainability, ethical fashion, and preserving heritage techniques like hand embroidery and hand woodblock printing. They also have a super cozy loungewear collection, which is what I will be living in this holiday season. Cleobella is offering my listeners an exclusive 20% off code. All you have to do is visit cleobella.com and use the code Natalia. Love you guys so much. I want to say something really quickly. Rasuli, my God, I'm so touched by your beauty. You're so, the depth is, there's no words. Rasuli, you brought something up. I don't know if you noticed. I almost started to cry, and that happens for me rarely on this podcast, but sometimes I feel like it's so beautiful because we receive what we're seeking. I really believe that. And just what you mentioned about us being in the flow of this universe and how it pains me in moments how much I forget that. And I feel like it's so easy to do that because the rational mind is, I believe and I feel that we live in a world that's more so taught us to be the servant to the rational mind and forget this, the flow of soul that remembers we're part of this remarkable, like everything you're speaking, Jesh, like I'm just like, I feel like I don't say the word need often, but I feel like I needed this reminder from both of you today. And I'm sure anyone who's listening feels exactly the same way because it's just to remember we're part of that flow. And I actually have that tattooed on the side of my ribs. I've had it since I was 21. It's from my favorite piece of writing called The Desiderata. Have you ever heard of it?
Ever see it?
What's that? No. The shirt would malfunction immediately. So no, but it says just essentially how just to trust that you're part of this flow, you're part of this universe. And why do we forget that? How can we tap into that? And I feel like you've already answered this, but maybe it bears repeating because that rational mind is pretty powerful.
See, Jesh mentioned something about the drunk stage where you just move from one side to another and you're not aware of it. That drunk stage where you just move from one side to another, there is a rhythm that you're moving to it. You're not aware of it, but you begin, as you become drunk, you begin to move to a rhythm that a distance fifer is playing. So as you move in that rhythm and you get used to it, to move in that rhythm, drunkenness, your state of letting go becomes more available to you. See, you cannot get rid of your rational thinking. Rational thinking is a part of life. You cannot get rid of it. But you can help your emotion by making a friendship between your heart and your rational thinking. That friendship is the art of living. Has nothing to do with paintings, music, acting, dancing. It's the art of living, how to live that joyful life. The art of living is to make a relationship between your rational thinking and your heart. Don't let one go ahead of the other one and order the other one. To just follow rational thinking and become another Cheney is not going to get you anywhere. Or if you want to be an Indian guru, to stand on one foot and eat one nut a day, you're not going to get anywhere either. There's a relationship to develop between those two. That relationship needs the wisdom of madness. Wisdom is different from philosophy. Philosophy is about learning, is about rational thinking, is about education. Wisdom is about practice. The wisdom of something is through practicing it. What we are doing is we showing the footprints, we enlightening the footprints for people to follow it. As Rumi says, footprints lead to the shore of the sea. From there, no trace remains. What we're doing, we lead in whoever wants to come along freely to come along to the shore of the sea. And we give them the freedom at that point, the license we give them, that from here you can just dive in on your own and look for that pearl which is hidden deep in there. The deeper you go, the better pearl you can find out. And this is our process.
I think to continue on with that, when we talk about how does a person remember this and why do we forget, that quote we were talking about with Nietzsche, he mentions this music. And then you also have Henry David Thoreau quote that I really love. It's attributed to him. It seems like it's been a little bit changed over time, but I still really love it. And that is, most men live lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave, the song's still in them. So there's this idea of music, and I think music is a really interesting metaphor that both of them touched upon, because of all of the arts, it's probably music that literally and physically moves us the most. It yes. affects our emotions so much because it has these strong elements of completely nonverbal, non-rational, non-thought-based tones and vibrations that literally do something that make the cells of our body vibrate. So mm-hmm. it's a very, very powerful, special thing. But both of them reference this idea that there's this music that they can hear that other people can't, or in Thoreau's case, talking about their song. They go to the grave with their song in them. So that it suggests that there is this music, this feeling, this flow of some kind. It's not thought, it's not rational, but it does create movement. But it gets stuck somehow in the body. And if I had to say the number one reason why that happens, it's because of lack of space. So if you take a baby, for instance, and all of their basic needs are met, they are hearing the music, they are feeling the music, they kind of look like they're drunk, or they look like they're dancing, because they're just in this space where they're responding very purely to everything around them. And you could hand them a $200,000 watch and they would be like, wow. And you could hand them the box that it came in and they would be even more excited about that. They were the watch. That's a pretty advanced level that most humans on earth aren't even at. So when we talk about this idea of enlightenment, a lot of times in popular culture, we keep thinking of it as if it's this thing somewhere out there beyond us, when it's like, no, we actually came from a pretty enlightened state. where we were hitting deep states of joy on a regular basis. We were connecting wildly with almost every single person we saw. We were learning and absorbing at an incredible rate. We had absolutely no self-judgments at all. You've never seen a baby get upset about how big their thighs are. That's not even like a thing for them. They're so advanced in those particular ways. The problem is that they're horrible at surviving. And so we grow up and we develop this rational brain to help us survive, but it kind of does this hostile takeover for most of us, where then we just become so obsessed with surviving. It would be like a person who's scared of the next earthquake or something, the big one. And so they just load up every single hand and foot and pocket that they have and backpack with like all of the survival gear ever. And they're just kind of trudging through life like that. And maybe the big one comes, maybe it doesn't. But what's your quality of life during that whole time? And it's one of the reasons why tragedy is such a classic, powerful teacher, because tragedy is a huge gust of wind that blows you over and knocks all of those things you were holding on that you thought were going to keep you in survival. Suddenly your hands are empty. Suddenly you have space. Suddenly you have a much better chance of hearing the song that has been in you your entire life and has never stopped singing to you. And people think it's the tragedy a lot of times that gave that to them. It wasn't. It's the song that gives everything to you. It's just that the tragedy takes away everything that you were holding. One of my great hopes in my life is to make the way of setting things down simpler and easier and better practically understood, so that we don't have to sit and wait for the next tsunami or gust of winds to come by to allow us that space. Because if a person can practice entering into space on purpose with regular rhythms, not forsaking all of the very important survival things we have to do, but with this heartbeat rhythm of beat, rest, beat, rest, beat, rest, pick up the survival things and completely set them down. This constant taking in and constant release, which of course, as you know better than most, breath is such a stunning example of, that our body literally depends upon. It's like our brain, our irrational thinking is in some kind of cardiac arrest, like it's been holding its breath for 20 or 30 years in a lot of cases. And it's just, it's suffocated. You know, the whole body system is just asphyxiated. Yes. And this ability to understand that, yes, the survival is important, but it also has to be set down, because if we survive and the whole time we survive, it's this miserable existence.
Totally.
Even a point of surviving in the first place.
Exactly. Oh my God.
Just to remember that this isn't some advanced thing way beyond you. You as a baby.
Yes.
It's just this setting down, you know, that has to happen.
I love that you bring that up, Josh. Like, essentially, like, we're not moving towards enlightenment. We're born in that state of joy and that surrender. And I just yesterday, makes me cry. There's this beautiful baby. He kept cruising around near me and my friend Victor. And I was just, he's just engaging and just allowing connection. And I just was feeling into my heart and the joy that it woke up in me. And I was like, oh my God, isn't it so simple? It's so simple. And we can move out of this as well, but we get so afraid of, I think, our own power and the power in other people, which that pure love and it gets socialized, you know, out of us. And I love what you say about that part of your, you know, journey, your mission is like helping us setting these things down simpler, because something I've learned from paying attention to my breath for a long time and doing all the yoga, all the things, is that when we think, we arrest breath. And yeah. So that's where so much sickness comes from, is because we have inflammation. We're not getting oxygen. And how powerful that when we are, have either of you ever utilized a Coherence? It's actually this new app called HeartMath, and you can connect it to your earlobe and it goes with your breath and your heartbeat. Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
Not me, no.
Rusalie, you're incoherent at all times, I think. So you're set. But a friend of mine gifted it to me. And oh my God, just witnessing all the ways I get out of coherence just because we get out of that breath. It's just, it's so simple. It's like, I was like, oh, when I'm just breathing, my heart and my brain are connecting. And the moment I'm even thinking an affirmation or I'm forcing something, wow, or I start daydreaming or I think about something from 50 years ago, well, not 50 years ago, 20, but in my other life, then it arrests that process. And I was like, oh my God, all I have to do is breathe into my heart. Oh, amazing. And there it is. There it all is. And I feel like that's what you both are bringing forward to us today, is that it's simple, right? It's just, there's simplicity to it. Would you say that's how it feels to me?
And the approach is as simple as it sounds. All you have to do when you wake up in the morning, before you turn on CNN or Fox or whatever, or your cell phone, begin a meditative state, to build a meditative state inside of you by saying to yourself, to your brain, that today is a new day for me. Today is the first day. Today is my birthday. Mark Twain says, there are two things in life that we need to celebrate for. One is when we're born, and the other one is when we find out why. See, this second part of life is very valuable.
Yes.
Yeah.
In our everyday activities. Why am I here? One of my practices as a Sufi, for 1 month I had to be aware of, when I say I, who is that I'm representing by saying I? Is it when I say I'm hangry, I love you, I want to leave, I am coming? Pay attention to who are these I's. Each one is different from the other. They're not the same I's. When you become aware of eyes, begin to sort out, like your closet that you sort out the clothes, sort out the eyes, put them in prison. You cannot kill them. Put them in prison. The eyes that don't belong in there, as you sort them out, you're left with certain eyes that you want to see yourself, not other people looking at you, not imposing their ideas for you how to behave or how to be you. Make yourself. So there was a century called 20th century, and that was the century of self-realization. We made connection with the Eastern gurus, and we developed a self-realized person within ourselves. Now, under today's pressure especially, we need to self-create ourselves. Self-creation is what we need to do today before somebody else creates us and puts us under pressure. We can self-create and feel the freedom of self-creation as we do that. This is the only way. Otherwise, they're going to control us. They're going to impose on us with laws, religions, politics, economy, whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
So let's begin every morning. Start repeating maybe five times and keep the deep breathing between every repetition. Take a deep breath. Repeat in, as you're keeping the air inside of you, today is a new day for me. Today is my birthday.
Mm. Tying that reason for meditation, because obviously meditation is very popular right now. What's the point of the meditation? In my opinion, the point of the meditation is to come back to that space so that you can hear the song. And hearing the song has to do also, from my perspective, with this thing Mark Twain was saying about knowing why you're here on the planet. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that's deeply related to this idea of joy. Joy is this moment when you know that you matter. You know that you're here for a reason. You know that this life that you have is worth something. And it's when we get disconnected from that, where the bulk of our suffering really is, because we even see sometimes people who go through really horrible circumstances but are still somehow joyful. And it's because they find a way to transform those circumstances into meaning. Yes. And that's a whole other huge, huge topic. But meaning is a thing of the feminine energy, in my opinion, the way of talking about it. The forms and the things that happen, that's that masculine. But the way that we interpret it, that has a lot to do with this thing he's talking about, with the creation, the creating of ourselves, again, tying back into self-governance, being this good ruler, being this worthy ruler, a wise ruler of ourself. I, studying these things my whole life, I found a lot of the classic forms of meditation very challenging for me. And I think a lot of people do, in no small part because of this ADD culture that we have, where the information keeps speeding up and all that. But I developed a form of meditation called Kindred, and it uses the body and it uses human connection with other people that is specifically for giving yourself the space, firstly, to hear your own music, and secondly, to fill your body up with that music, and the third, to share that music with other people. So it has full focus on the feminine energy, and then a full focus on the masculine energy, and then a full focus on the union of the two, which to me, all three of those are supremely vital states of every single human. And there's just not a whole lot of places that we can really learn, let alone practice, how to switch our own bodies between those three states at will. Because just like breath in and breath out, there's always a time when you need one, when one is more relevant than the other. And I think a lot of us get very identified to whichever of the three piles or whatever we happens to fall in, sometimes based on gender, sometimes based on how our parents raised us, sometimes based on our culture. When really, to me, every single human, regardless of gender or background or anything, is part masculine energy, part feminine energy, part structure, part essential quality, part known, part mystery. And both of them are us equally. And we really deserve to be exploring all of it.
I think if you want to keep us talking, it's going to be on and on and on and on.
I know. I want to have you both back. I would love to hear, where can my beautiful audience find you and connect with you more deeply and listen to the podcast and all of the beautiful things you both are creating and bringing to us?
Please make sure to send me a copy of this recording.
Got it.
There were moments that I was looking at you and you looked just like one of Leonardo's paintings of Madonna, and the hand was the movement of your hand, and you have beautiful hands, by the way.
Thank you.
And the whole face was just reminding me of, and I want to see that again. So
I'd be honored. I will absolutely. I'm going to send you the video of this as well. Maybe we'll even post this video. I don't often, but I think it's so beautiful. And if you both are open to it, I'll post it.
Rasuli is Rasuli-art on Instagram. Is that right?
Nice.
No, Rasuli art, one word. R-A-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S- O-U-L-I-A-R-T. That's it. That, no, nothing else.
Arts on Instagram.
It'll be in the show notes too.
Yeah, and that's mine is Gesture Rock. So that's probably the best way, because you, if you go into the link in the bio, you can see the podcasts and all of that kind of stuff.
So I bow to each of you. Deep respect, deep reverence. Thank you so much for this today. I feel so blessed that I got to have this time with both of you. And I, from soul to soul and heart to heart, I love you very much. And God bless. Thank universe you. Bless. Goddess bless. All the things. Thank you so much. And we will see you soon. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. I love you and enjoy the rest of your beautiful day. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. If this episode has served you, I ask you to share it, to send it to someone where it could make a big difference and help them heal or create a new perspective in their life. Please tag me with your shares, something you learned from this episode or that you loved from this episode at Natalia_Benson on Instagram. Also, please DM me with questions or feedback or whatever. I love to stay in touch with you. Thank you so much for your support. Consider subscribing to this podcast, leaving me a 5-star review so we can continue to grow together. Thank you so much. I will see you very soon. Mwah. Thank you.